This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, March 24th, 2017. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, unionists are fighting for women's empowerment at a UN conference. Labour's campaign against the privatization of water systems. The Olympics Committee agrees to add respect for human rights in host city contracts. And the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. More than 8,000 women and their supporters are attending the annual Commission on the Status of Women conference of the United Nations in New York. Radio Labour's senior correspondent Seymour Ainsborough reports.
At the United Nations in New York, thousands of women and their supporters are meeting at the 61st session of the Commission of the Status of Women, the CSW. Many unionists are attending the conference. They have been discussing the theme of this year's conference of empowerment for women by arguing for the greater unionization of women workers. One of the global unions attending the conference is Education International. EI represents more than 32 million teachers and other education workers in 171 countries. It has prepared a report about the conference and the unionization of women workers.
This is Madeleine Kennedy McFoy, coordinator at Education International Secretariat in Brussels. And I'm here today with Diane Woloschuk, who's currently the chair of the EI Status of Women Committee. As we take our lead from the UN Commission on the Status of Women, this year the focus is on the economic empowerment for women and girls. Can you say something about the benefits that women teachers can expect to enjoy when they join a trade union?
As I was thinking about it, it seemed to me that it fell into what I would call the three V's. So I'll go through those. The three V's to me are voice, value, and visibility. As we know, unions are democratic, and because of that, women are able to give voice to their beliefs, their vision for how things should be, their concerns in the workplace. They're able to advocate for change, for improvements, and for transformation in their situation. And they're able to join their voices with other women and other workers throughout the union movement to push for that change. Higher salaries, worker protections, employment insurance, pensions, benefit plans, the whole nine yards. I think unions help us to value the work that women do. And I think this is how we can truly say that unions are able to accelerate the economic empowerment of women. And that's why a woman's place is in her union.
March 22nd is World Water Day, a day set aside by the United Nations to remind people about the importance of safe, affordable water. One of the factors which can work against access to safe, affordable water is the privatization of water supply systems. In other words, taking ownership and control of water systems away from local authorities and giving them to private corporations. I talked to David Boies about access to water. Mr. Boies is the Deputy General Secretary of Public Services International. The PSI represents public service unions at the world level. I asked him, what is wrong with the privatization of water systems?
Everything. Everything is wrong with privatizing the management of water and sanitation systems. Look, the first reality is, we've got to be clear, that market actors and market dynamics, which means the private for-profit, must maximize profits. And therefore, any social or environmental issues that are a threat to profits have to be eliminated. So from the trade union perspective, what we've seen is one of the main costs in delivering water and sanitation services is the labor cost. So what happens is, well, good, decent jobs, which pay living wages and might even have a pension, they're outsourced. They're made precarious. So, I mean, that is at the narrowest level of what's the problem with privatizing water. But because you don't have the choice of whether you're going to drink water or use water in your household today, and because you typically only have one network system, once the private sector gets a hold of that monopoly, then the options for abusing a monopoly position are huge.
Under pressure by labor unions, NGOs, athletes organizations, and other civil society groups, the International Olympic Committee, the IOC, has agreed to incorporate respect for international human rights in the contract signed by host cities of the Olympic Games. The requirement will come into force for the 2024 Olympics to be hosted by either Paris or Los Angeles. I talked to Brendan Schwab about the new IOC rule concerning human rights. Mr. Schwab is the head of Uni World Athletes. Uni is the global union for skills and services such as banking and retail trade. It represents some 20 million workers in 900 unions around the world. I asked Mr. Schwab why it was felt necessary to force the IOC to put respect for human rights in the contract signed by the Olympic host cities.
Well, unfortunately, in recent times, there's been a series of major human rights concerns associated with hosting the Olympic Games. In Rio, for example, the major concerns were connected with the crackdown on local civilians by police in order to maintain what we could politely describe as a secure environment, where we felt that local residents had their fundamental rights abused. There were concerns over the compulsory acquisition of property without due process and compensation. And if we go back a few more further years, say to Sochi, where there were problems with unpaid workers involved in the construction of the Olympic facilities, and even back to Beijing, where there was a crackdown on freedom of speech, we can see that the Olympic Games have struggled to live up to their mantra of sport being a force for good and sport being something which promotes the very best of humanity coming together.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Star correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the almost 300 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to news about the new deadline given Qatar for improving the treatment given migrant workers, the imprisonment of union activists in Algeria, and plans for a national protest strike on May Day in the United States. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. The miners' strike in Chile continued. Airport workers in Italy were also off the job last week in a protest over layoffs at Alitalia. 20,000 Indian car assembly plant workers held a one-hour warning strike over the sentencing of leaders of an earlier strike to jail. A court order ended a strike by Nigerian healthcare workers. Their issues remain unresolved. Indian solid waste collection workers continued their boycott of work, leaving huge piles of garbage rotting in city streets. Social workers in South Africa vowed to continue their strike after they were ordered to return to work by a court. Asbestos removal workers downed tools after being handed a take-it-or-leave-it pay cut offer by an Australian employer. A wage strike in French Guiana delayed the launch of a rocket carrying satellites into orbit. And Bulgarian retail workers held the latest in a series of wildcats in a protest over wage theft by the country's largest chain of shops and occupied the company's headquarters. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the call for the recognition of basic labor rights for home-based workers, the vast majority of whom are women, in Pakistan. Obviously, sexist attacks on the new General Secretary of the Australian Council of Trade Unions, and the women-led protests by agricultural workers against the construction of a huge new cement plant in Indonesia. The Health and Safety Newswire we run in cooperation with Hazards magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the drastically decreased life expectancy of workers in the Bangladeshi chemical industry and new calls for changes to the rate structure in the Australian trucking industry after a horrific lorry crash last week. Currently, Labour Start is running 9 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.